right now, time to welcome in Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can always find them on the web, tqag.com, and on a Tuesday morning, right here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So what's new? Have you on the east coast of Florida as much rain as been on the west coast of Florida?
No, actually, not that bad.
Well, it started.
We had our afternoon showers.
With this hurricane, the tropical storm, it did go over us, and it started. We did have patches, but not as bad as they had on the west coast. And we're still feeling, like even yesterday, we had a little of the residual outer bands. I mean, that's how big this storm is. Really stretches out, but not as intense as what's going through.
All right, so everything's okie-dokie down there for you two then, weather-wise.
Yeah, so far, not too bad.
That's right. There's still plenty more to go, it looks like. There's still plenty more storms.
Yeah, there's lots out there.
They're getting to the point where they're going to start using the Greek alphabet the storms.
Oh, just remember. Just remember, the president says it's going to get cooler. So,
it's going to get cooler. Just like the virus. It's just going to go away magically one day.
It's going to get cooler. All right. So now, what news do we have to follow in auctioneering and high prices and low prices and no prices?
Well, there was a wonderful sale that took place at Heritage Auctions, and this is sales that we like to follow, but also things that we've talked about in the past. And it was comic art and comic books. The Heritage had a 4-day long auction, and on the first day, I think they said the first day they had a record. It was the first session alone realized $3.9 million in a span of an hour, which was pretty amazing. And one of the features in that first day was a Frank Frazetta, who he's a big pulp art. He did a lot of covers for a lot of the pulp art books and things that were out there. And this particular one is called Princess of Mars. And it was one of the pieces that, actually, when I worked at Christie's back in the 90s, we sold a similar copy that was used for the cover of one of these Pulp Fiction books, and it sold really well. But this one, Frank Frazetta made a copy of that because he liked it so much for himself, and he made a little bit of alterations, and this ended up selling for $1.2 million, which was one of his from his private collection. And one of the things that separated him from a lot of the other artists is that part of his deal as an artist is that he retained the original artwork. So he would do the artwork. The publishers would make copies, do what they needed to do to make the copies for the books and whatever they were doing, and then he would get the original artwork back. So he was unique in that sense that these pieces stayed with him, and if anything ever went out, it had great provenance because he basically was coming from him. So that was a big highlight. But I mean, in one session to do $3.9 million, and 1.2 of that was that one Frazetta piece, that's still pretty amazing.
When was that sale, Tim?
This just took place recently. It's September 10th through the 13th.
Ah, because, you know, you sent me that link, or sent me the article on it, I clicked on something else that was there because I saw the word Pokemon, which I've never really understood, never in my wheelhouse. But a rare sealed Pokemon booster set, card set, broke the world record, it says, and it was it sold for $198,000.
Oh my goodness!
For a set of Pokemon cards, it's like
which is in stark contrast to one of the 1970s comic book. It was the Incredible Hulk. It was comic book Incredible Hulk number 181, and it was had a very high grade as far as condition. It was 9.8, and that realized $49,200. But it actually, that was the highest price paid for a comic book published in the 1970s, which is telling me that when I worked at Christie's 30 years ago, anything from the 1970s, we would say, well, no, we really don't want to offer at auction because it's not going to bring a whole lot. And now, 30 years later, we are now looking at things from the 1970s, especially these comic books in good condition. They are realizing higher prices. And I think a lot of that has to do with things like Comic-Con and also all of these spin-offs of the different sci-fi and Marvel comics and DC comics and all the different things that are happening that are in the public, basically social media, and also in the public public eye, and they're getting much more attention. So it's interesting to see things like that really come in, that they're really coming into their own. I mean, you know, the Incredible Hulk from the 70s.
Well,
interesting.
Marshall,
were you a comic?
I was just gonna say I was right in that period, of course, 71 I graduated from high school, but I was the first in my family that completely hewed Superman, and I was a Marvel guy from day one. I was a Marvel guy from day one, where just about anybody else, a lot of my friends even, they were, you know, I forget who had the Superman franchise, but I was a Marvel guy, and I followed everything that Marvel ever did, and still do to this day when their movies come out. It's something that happens when you're young. Either you're a Superman fan or you were a Fantastic Four man. Either you like the Incredible Hulk, Marvel came out with these such interesting characters, and it was just amazing. I even, like I said, I always had strange tastes as a kid. I think my father always prayed for my eventual survival.
But you're not alone, because also in this sale there was a copy of Superman number one that sold for $348,000, and it was in very good condition. So it did very well. I mean, that itself, and I think that there are collectors that it was either Superman or Batman. Or Spider-Man, or, and like you said, there were certain superheroes that people gravitated toward.
You know, it was with Marvel, they had so many different, most comics back then dealt with individuals, okay, individual stars. And Marvel really was the one that brought about the Avengers and stuff like that, and had a whole, like, roster. It was almost like a baseball team.
Yes,
and I for some reason I just fell in love with Marvel Comics. You know, that's all I can say. So,
well, and that was the Justice League too. I mean, you know, so there was a whole number of spin-offs, because they once individually they can only do so much, but then there were so many more storyline possibilities if we put them together.
and this is how strange I was, and I don't know about you guys, but another thing that I read when I was young was The Watchmen. And my father wanted to throw mine away, because my father read books, loved to read books. But he saw this comic that I subscribed to, and he was looking at the storylines of it. And he just said,
right.
He looked at me, he says, his exact words were, "For Christ's sakes, Lee, you let this kid read this stuff." To my poor mother. She had no idea
that
it was a comic.
I have to admit, I have never seen The Fascination. It's the one area of collecting that I've never really gotten into. I really have never enjoyed comic books, and I've tried to look at them as a kid. My brother did, and all of our cousins, but I just could never get into the comic book But the craze, well, it's just something that
I wasn't crazed by it, but I loved. Now, for those of you people who don't know what we're talking about graphic novels, okay?
Right, exactly.
There's certain people out now there who have no
graphic
idea.
Graphic novels.
What, it's a comic book.
I know, but there's so many people out there that have no idea that they're comic books.
That they're out there. Right. Well, also that what was part of the sale, and this I found interesting, especially when I was first exposed to all of this as artwork and collectibles, 30 years ago, is that they have the actual original art pages from various comic books that went into the comic books. So two of the really big artists, Jack Kirby was one of the big artists, and Chick Stone, and they worked on Journey into Mystery number 112, which the story, it's page 9, and it features Hulk and Thor original art, and that was Marvel 1965. So that page, which would have been a larger, just original sheet, that's what they would have shrunk down and used for the pages in the comic book, that sold for $120,000, just that one page. And to me, I thought that some of those pages and that original artwork, that's what I really liked, especially when I started to learn more about this area and this genre of collecting and artwork. Yeah, the comic books are great, but nowadays you have to have them sealed and graded so that you can't even look through the pages and see what the artwork looks like. I like the individual pages, and they're black and white. They're usually ink and gouache on board. And it's in 2, 3, 4, 5 different panels. Some of them might be just one. It might be a splash page. So those are really, to me, I think, is the real artwork behind all of that, not just the books that they produced. And
well,
some
I have
of those
a question for you, Tim, because I remember when we started, when we first met, and you were working at Christie's, and we started getting into this, and you were the Christie's was having the comic book sales with Joe and Nadia, but for some reason the comic book was the thing and the original art wasn't. Now that seems to have flipped, and now it seems like you can't get enough of the original art, and I'm wondering if it's because now the comic books are more rare than there's more in the marketplace for the original art or what, because I don't understand.
I know what you're asking. I think that there's just a maturity in the collecting area too, in the market. I think that so if there are people that have a lot of these comic books and they can't open them because they're all sealed, so why not look for the original artwork that you can then frame and put on your wall? And I have that comic book. This is the original artwork from that particular page. So and because there's only one of those, if there is desirability and there's not a lot of quantity, that's why the values are starting to go up. Because my goodness, when we first got together and I was selling them at Christie's, they weren't selling for as much. The comic books were selling for more, and I couldn't understand that. And it was just like in animation art, it was the original drawings and the pencil drawings and some of the drawings that were out there that's the original artwork that I would have loved to, held on to or started to purchase, because I think that's where the artistry is, where the animation sells, even though they were colorful and more. And I think that was the draw in a young market. Animation art was really the draw. It was very colorful and lively. The same thing with the comic books. So they were all colorful. And at that point, back in the 90s, they weren't encapsulated. So they would be graded, but they would be in the plastic sleeves. Kind of if you watch Big Bang Theory and the guys go into the comic store and they're rifling through all the comics, they're all in those sleeves. And you can see that's what it is. Today, collectors now have them all encapsulated and graded so that if they want to sell them, then it's already been graded and they can then, but you can't open them. You can't enjoy them. That's what I liked about Big Bang, is that they're all looking through the comics and they're handling it with gloves, but they're still enjoying their collection.
You know, it's funny, we're talking about comics, and we go back to how I love the way that Marvel broke the mold. But, you know, I kicked myself in the rear end because I did have all the original Watchmen series comic books. There were 12 or 13, I think, and I lost them over time. And had I kept those and kept them in decent condition, it's considered, and I never... It's considered like one of the greatest comic stories ever written. I mean, there's 12 issues, I guess, but I have no idea what happened to them over the time. My father probably burned them. Probably what happened. But I hate to think what they'd be worth if you had all 12 or 13 of them right now, what they'd be worth. They have to be worth $100,000 or more, probably.
Well, there again, it's like that. I stumbled across this Pokemon set. Who knew? I mean, we used to make fun of them. So every chance we got, we used to make fun of Pokemon because it was so odd. And just there were millions of them out there. And then all of a sudden, this one turns up that sold for like $198,000.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys one question before we leave. And your knowledge is probably not good enough to know, but because I don't know if you're big comic fans or not, but the Fantastic Four. Which was a Marvel one. Do you know which one was my favorite? And I even had T-shirts back then.
I have to admit, I don't even know what the Fantastic Four, who's in them. That's how little I know about comic books.
Well, there was Mr.
I'll admit that right up front.
There was Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, the Human Torch, and also the Thing. Okay, and also Dr. Doom. But which one of those do you think I was? I love most.
The Thing.
Oh. You just let something slip. What? Because you said, which one of those was I?
Yeah.
So in other words, you were emulating. Wanting to emulate one of those characters is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, the thing. That was me. And if you look
I sound like Dr. Phil all of a sudden.
If you look up the Thing, you'll see why. Well, guys, it's been great going down memory lane.
Oh, my God. I just looked it up. I see that.
That's right. Just think of me whenever you're talking. The Thing. All right. Guys.
Yeah, and you know what? That was created by Stan Lee, so he's got good taste. And the artist was Jack Kirby, so very good taste.
Not too bad. All right. All right, guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Have a good week, Marshall.
Take care, guys. Buddy. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the Appraisal Guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robin Hood Radio.